In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over four decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
This is D. Orlando Ledbetter of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution here with your 297th episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. Everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. We're going to title this episode, Falcons Take a Beatdown in Dallas. 43-3 was the score, and it was not close from the first quarter. When they did not convert on a fourth down, everything just went downhill from there. We're going to do we're doing another airport edition here. We had O'Hare, the 5 o'clock out of Dallas was delayed. They couldn't get the canisters on board for the food and the water. So we sat there for 45 minutes, which I only had an hour to get to my Atlanta flight. And so when I got here, It was backing up out of H-12. I was at K-6, got over there. But anyway, we're here at O'Hare, so you'll hear airport noises. Little announcement going on right now. Folk just rolled by on their with their suitcase. But we're going to get this podcast up for you guys. We're going to look at the third down situation. Matt Ryan's worst passer rating game ever. Game notes, player notes, and the Pats and the Browns game. We're going to look at that real quick. The Patriots won 45-7. We're going to get into them later this week. I just want to make sure that I had their record for you guys. The rookie's playing pretty good. Ramondre Stevenson had a big game. And 45-7 on the Browns. Quality win, 5-4 team. Yeah, they're 6-4 now. So another quality opponent for the Falcons coming up. I'm also going to try to play the Arthur Smith. A couple minutes from him, a couple minutes from Matt Ryan, and a couple minutes from Daron Harmon. Then one quote from Foyer. Foyer said, "We have to win on third down and get off the field." That was pretty obvious. But he discussed about being in the hunt. They're 4-4. Second time this season, they were 4-4, 4-5 now. Second time this season they got to 500 and couldn't get over 500. And that's a barrier. They need to do that, you know, if they're going to, you know, do some of the things they want to do. But yeah, let's go on and we'll get into that deeper. But we got to review this when this was bad. The third down situation was really, really bad. And let me pull out our game book here because I circled some of the numbers just so we can go over those before we, you know, that's item number one for me was what happened on third and fourth downs. The Falcons were 1 of 11, 9.1%, 0 for 2 on fourth down. So altogether, they were 1 of 13 on the third or fourth downs. Dallas was 6 of 14 on third down, 42.9, and 3 for 3 on fourth downs, 100%. So, I mean, that's how you get blown out. Don't convert on third downs, three and outs, giving the ball back. Receivers not getting open. D-backs played a great game for Dallas, had 10 passes defense. So shut down the offense pretty much. We know they don't have a running game. So one-dimensional teams, you can shut them down with a good defense. And Dallas wasn't, you know, looked at as, you know, a good defense, but they did shut down the Falcons' passing attack. So let's go ahead and go to Arthur Smith, the Falcons coach.
I got to do a better job here. Clearly, we weren't prepared coming in here, and we got avalanche that second quarter from having recovered.
Why do you feel like maybe you didn't do a good enough job?
Well, I mean, clearly, this is a game. Yeah, so the possibility falls on me, Michael. And so I got to get this team ready to go. We're lucky it only counts as one. And we got to turn around. We got to play a really good New England team that's on a roll in our home stadium on Thursday. So that's why I feel that way. When you score 3 points and you give up 43, it's a pretty bad day at the office. But you got to credit the Cowboys. Like I said, we were out coached and out played.
What was your vantage point on the fourth down where y'all went for it?
So we wanted to be aggressive coming in here. So where we were, it's going to be a long kick. I know it was fourth and seven. But looking at that point in the game, we knew what kind of offense we were playing on the other side. So made a decision to be aggressive. Obviously, hindsight is 20-20. And clearly, we didn't convert. We didn't get anything on the third down and on the fourth down. And that's kind of where, you know, they momentum swung the other way.
And, what did you say at halftime? What was the situation?
Like I said, the third quarter, whatever it was, you know, kind of malaise back and forth, threw a couple picks. You know, we got credit to them. You know, we were a little bit off the spot. You know, tried to force a thing here or there. And then, you know, we got a couple turnovers. And it was pretty much, you know, we got to play Thursday. So that's why you saw a heavy dose of Rosen and Gallman and those other guys. When we realized it was, I don't know, possessions left in the game to go win, we know we got to get ready to play Thursday. So that's why a lot of those decisions were made.
Any explanation for Matt's performance today beyond just one of those days?
Well, you know, we started out, thought we were in a pretty good rhythm. Obviously, we stalled out there on the third and seven, fourth and seven. And then we had two quick three and outs. And it's all 11 of us. We got to get open versus man coverage. We got to protect. He's obviously got to deliver the football. So I think you could blame it on the whole team, you know, blame it on the play call, whatever it is. It's a whole team. And that's what happened.
All right. That was Coach Arthur Smith. Said blame it on the whole team. He's got to deliver the ball. Players got to get open against man. Got to protect. So he took the aerial view. Instead of going, hey, Russell Gage has got to get open. Russell Gage has got to hold on to the ball. Kyle Pitts has got to get open. When they take him away, somebody else has got to step up. They don't have nothing for the running game. They did get some garbage yards late by Wayne Gallman. And you know, they went over 100 yards rushing. So, I don't know. Maybe, you know, maybe that was something. I don't know. Put your head on. But, yeah, Ryan's stat line was you know, one of the worst of his career. And we're going to go over here to that page. that's my second page here. 9 of 21 for 117. Sacked twice. Long gain of 20. Two interceptions. A 21.4 passer rating. Now, his lowest, and I was there for this game, was 29.6. Against Tampa Bay in the second game of the year before he knew how to read defenses yet. Rondé Barber and Monty Kiffin, the defensive coordinator, showed the rookie a few tricks there. But this is, you know, his 14th season, and he's got to carry this team. And he just last week did that against the Saints, was the NFC Player of the Week. So I asked Ryan about it, and he said, hey, you know, maybe I hope it'll be another 13 years before I have a game like that. So, you know, that's where he's at. That story's up online on AJC.com. We're going to go to Matt Ryan for you here from the O'Hare International Airport in suburban Chicago.
You get knocked down, you got to get back up quick. And we've got a Thursday night game this week, and we've got to have a great attitude getting into the building tomorrow so we can play our best Thursday night.
This is usually a college period, but was there any sort of hangover from last week and the way you guys won last week?
I don't think so. You know, typically you see that when the practices aren't good or, you know, the attention to detail's not there. I thought we prepared pretty well during the week. We didn't get the job done. We didn't play up to the way that we're capable of. And so, again, you know, it happens. It's a long season. It counts just one. You know, no matter how ugly it is, it counts just as one loss. And, you know, we've got to put it behind us and get back to work tomorrow.
Okay, what does it say about the offense that there wasn't a receiver that caught a pass until, I think, it was 11 minutes in the third quarter?
Well, I mean, we didn't play well anywhere. So, you know, it's not about any one position across the board. You know, we all didn't, you know, take care of our business. And, you know, we can do better than that, and we need to do better than that moving forward.
Owner Arthur Blake said he wanted you all to be competitive this year. This was the first time you all weren't able to, you know, have a game. How are you going to try to move forward from a non-competitive game?
Well, I think you understand, you know, it just counts one. You know, as ugly as it is, you know, we get 17 of these opportunities, and today is one in the loss column, but we still got, you know, 8 more chances to go out there. And, you know, I think we're better than we played today, and we just need to play up to the standard that we're capable of doing.
In the game Thursday, does that help that it's, you know, right in front of you here? You don't have the long week to get ready for another game?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've got no other option than to view it as, you know, in helping. And I think, you know, I think one of the things, as we get on this flight and we start to, you know, make our way back, I know for me it's on to New England and trying to take a look at what they're doing, get a jump start on them, and whether it was win or loss, that's got to be the mindset. And, you know, maybe it comes at a good time. We've got to flush this one out and just get back to work.
And this was your lowest passer rating since game two in the Monty Kiffin game in 08.
I remember that one.
Yeah, yeah. Rodney Barber had a big day there. But
yeah, they, hopefully it'll be another 13 years until I have another, you know, rating like that. That's kind of the way I view it. It's one of the days that just, you know, it wasn't for us. We didn't play well. I didn't play well. And, you know, you got to get back to work.
All right there. That was Matt Ryan. He's got to get back to work. Didn't play well, so he hopes it's another 13 years before he has a big game like that. I don't know if it was on him. I think Dan Quinn had his guys together. They clearly knew the route combinations. They were at the ball. Like I said, they ended up with 3 picks altogether and 10 pass breakups. Let me just go over those real quick. Yeah, because Lewis had 3. Brown had 3. Yeah, that's getting it done right there. Then Lewis also had a pick, and so did Brown. Yeah, that was the Baba one. And then Tavon Diggs, of course, had his 8th pick of the year. So they were all over the Falcons passing game. Let's look at the game notes, player notes, and then just a little bit on the Patriots. We'll slip Daron Harmon in at the end. And we'll wrap up the 297th episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. So, you know, it's 43-3. The Falcons offense rushed for 103 yards, 24 attempts, 4.3. Good looking numbers. It'll help the run game look better. But, you know, it wasn't that crunch time when the game was mattered. And A.J. Terrell was the 6th team captain for this one. Yeah, and Matt, we went over his numbers, 9 of 21, 117, 2. Wayne Gallman got some showtime there at the end, 76 yards, 55 rushing, 21 receiving. He had a 21-yard catch that tied the longest reception of his career. Kyle Pitts recorded 4 receptions for 60 yards. Lamonde Zaccheaus had 2 catches for 22. And one special teams tackle, Frank Darby, caught his first career pass for 14 yards. And Foye Oluokun led the team with 14 tackles. They did stop the run, the Falcons defense. They keyed on the run and, you know, did a good job there. But, you know, just had too many people running around free in the secondary. Rookie nickelback Avery Williams had a tough day. Fabian Monroe had a tough day. You know, so not trying to single them out, but they just did. In the zone, they sent the tackle out to get Monroe on that big screen. Then they threw the double screen off of that same pass later. They faked it to the left, the wide receiver screen, and dumped it to Zeke Elliott on the backside. Got a little bit. They played that one a lot better than they did the first screen. So. But Grady Jarrett had 5 tackles, 1 quarterback hit and 1 tackle for loss. Richie Grant had 3 tackles and a first career forced fumble. Fabian Monroe had 6 tackles. Eric Harris had 7. Younghoe Koo scored the only points of the game there when they stalled in the red zone with that 35-yard field goal. And the big block punt, Dustin Colquitt had 5 punts for 231 yards, 46.2 average, dropped one inside the 20, and a season long of 66 yards. And he also had a punt block. They left that off the game notes. The punt got blocked. It was already out of hand. It was 30. My buddy Clarence Hill from the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, we were, you know, post-game chatting there and at his local neighborhood pizza spot. He was like, nah, the black punt was just icing. It was already done. They were up 28-3 there. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. The black punt wasn't that big. But they did do a couple gangster moves on the Falcons. Won the toss. Took the ball. They like, hey, we got an offense. We getting ready to run it down y'all's throat. And then the other boss move was, hey, they blocked the kick. Falcons get caught with 12 men on the field. They're like, hey, we're going to take it at the one and run it in and make this 36-3. So that's what happened. Dak had a touchdown in the third quarter there to kind of put this thing way, way out of reach. And the Falcons could never get anything going there. Matter of fact, nobody was watching that game as all the subs started to come in. And we saw some Felipe Franks and Josh Rosen to close out the game here. So, player stats and game stats, those are done. Fourier was making a point that, hey, you know, we're in the hunt. We got to keep winning so we can stay in the hunt. The Falcons entered this game as a 7th seed, headed into the playoffs. Now they, you know, we asked them, hey, does this show the gap between the top teams in the NFC and y'all? Grady got offended by that. But, you know, it was a measuring stick game. And they got another one coming up on Thursday. You know, the NFL is set up for everybody to be 500. There are some teams that are better than others. You got Dallas on their schedule. They got Buffalo later this season. And then they got Tampa Bay later this season. But now New England's showing that, hey, they might have the rookie quarterback playing some ball. And they're 6-4. So, we're going to see here. That's why we, you know, this is officially past the halfway mark. Let me get a little coffee here. Yeah, the Starbucks did have a line here at the airport today. That was the first time in a long time I seen that. But okay, yeah, let's get on over here. So, you know, Foyer is, you know, they're not giving that punt. They're selling them that, hey, they keep getting better. You know, they could play with these teams and, you know, try to get back to respectability, get over 500. You know, I got the next 4 games on the schedule. You got Carolina's the 4th on the 12th of December. And you got New England here, then the Jacksonville, and so forth. So we're going to know here pretty soon if this was a deal where it blew the tires off the car here, or if it was just a setback for the Falcons. If it was just a setback that they learned from, and we'll start getting some answers to that on Thursday night. So we got one more audio clip we want to play. We want to get to Mr. Harmon here for you, and then we'll wrap it up. Get ready to get on the plane.
Going up and down the field, it's tough. And,
That team is very, very talented. Coach said it this week. If we don't make it tough on them, it's going to be a tough one for us. Got to give credit to Dallas. They came out here with great energy, played well, and executed on all cylinders.
And it looked like y'all were mixing it up, trying to different things and so forth, but the man and zones and so forth, blitz, you saw a little bit of everything. How tough is that when you're trying different stuff and you can't find anything to kind of put the fire out?
Well, I think when we look at the tape, man, you never want to judge a game when you don't see the tape, but I just think we could be just a little more detailed in areas. Because that's, like I said, it's a talented football team. If you do something, it's not as detailed. You got a freaking great quarterback over there who's going to find it. That's what you did today. So we just got to watch the team, flush it down, and just get ready for Thursday. That's the thing I love about, Thursday night games. You only got to wait 4 days to play again. So we'll look to be better on Thursday.
All right, safety Daron Harmon. Okay, so the schedule got Patriots at Falcons this Thursday at the Mercedes-Benz. Then Thanksgiving weekend down in Jacksonville. Then Tampa Bay comes to town on Sunday, December the 5th. And then at Carolina. So, okay, they can find a way to get the Patriots. Then they could get back to 500, then Jacksonville, maybe you get over 500, so that's 6-5. Then you got Tampa Bay coming in here, and, they just lost to Washington football. So, and then, you got Carolina with Cam back, and Carolina, barely got out of here with a win a couple weeks ago. So, you want to compete in these games. You don't want to get the doors blown off. The Patriots just blew out the Browns. Tampa Bay certainly has the capability to blow out a team. They should be able to play Jacksonville. They might be favored in that game. Won't be favored at Carolina. So this is the key point of the season here. It's either going to turn up or it's going to be some backsliding, and then we'll start looking at the draft positions and all that stuff. We know how to do that, unfortunately, because the last 3 years have been losing seasons. So the Falcons, 4-5, set to play the New England Patriots, 6-4, on Thursday at 8:20 p.m. at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We'll be there for you in that one. So we're going to wrap on up, get out of here, get up to Flowery Branch, talk to Matt Ryan today and a couple other players. Probably miss Coach, but they'll have a tear and skip of it, and we'll see if we need to share any of that with you all today. So with that, we're going to get out of here for the 297th episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast. We'll be back Wednesday morning with the preview of the New England Patriots and Mac Jones, the rookie quarterback, who's developing nicely in New England. So with that, take care and have a great rest of your week.
The AJC's trusted veteran political voices, Greg Bluestein, Patricia Murphy, Tia Mitchell, and Bill Nigut, are the essential source for Georgia politics. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution's Politically Georgia. Sign up for the newsletter, download the podcast, subscribe to the AJC.
Hip-hop is a product of black people. It's a product of black song and celebration.
The Atlanta Journal-Constitution presents
hip-hop's most pulled elements are pulled from the South.
A Southern hip-hop store.
We always go back to that moment of the Source Awards.
Everybody wants your rhythm, but they don't want your blues.
The biggest names in hip-hop.
Atlanta is still the mecca for hip-hop.
50 years.
No one can deny.
One film.
The power of the South now.
The South got something to say. Streaming now at AJC.com/hip-hop.